Welcome to MTG Pro Tutor, your gathering of insights, tips, and advice from renowned players and community icons. Connect with venerated teachers to gain the knowledge you need to improve your skills. Now, here's your planar guide and personal tutor, Sean Penrod.
Hello, hello, hello. It is good to be back. These past couple weeks have been a blast. I've been to San Diego and then Utah and then up to Mammoth Lakes for a camping trip. And now I'm back. And it's good to be back. I'll tell you that right now. So a lot's happened since I've been gone. Not the least of which were the Grand Prix over the weekend. And it was so cool to see Scott Lipp, a past guest, take down the Grand Prix out there in Australia. That was a lot of fun. And I am really looking forward to the Pro Tour this weekend to see what the pros do with this new standard set. I've been doing some playtesting for GP Portland. I will be there, and I'm looking forward to seeing you there as well. We will be having a Pro Tutor meetup on Friday night. Details to come. I'm trying to find a venue that is close to the convention center, hopefully within walking distance. But if not, it should be just a short Uber ride away. I want it to be as close as possible. So we're going to get together Friday night. We're going to hang out, play Magic if we want, just talk, eat some appetizers, something. We're just going to get together and it's going to be a blast. So the first official MTG Pro Tutor meetup will be in Portland Friday night. I did get together with a few prodigies at GPLA, but this will be the first time that I actually have a space set aside, so I'm really looking forward to doing that. So stay tuned to the show, the Facebook group, and the email list to know exactly where and when the meetup will be. Again, I know it will be Friday night. I'm just getting the exact address and the exact time. Other than that, I don't know if you've noticed, but my site has been down. Something happened while I was camping, and every page you go to is just completely white. So it took me a few days to figure out one that was broken, because I was camping at the time. And now I'm a few days into trying to fix it, and I'm working with a web guy who is doing his best, but it's not up yet. So I do apologize. Thank you so much for your patience. I know that if you've tried to sign up for the sweet giveaway I'm doing right now, you haven't been able to, and I apologize for that. The good thing is the giveaway will still be up for another week, so there is still plenty of time. I will get this fixed this week and let you know as soon as it is up. Also, being August, I will be announcing the winner of the patron-exclusive July giveaway shortly. So if you are interested in being entered into those drawings, go to mtgprotutor.com/Patreon. And if the redirect doesn't work because the site is down, you can just go to patreon.com/mtgprotutor. That works too. And sign up to be a patron there. You can pledge any amount you want per episode. And every month, you will be entered into the drawing for the patron-exclusive giveaway, as well as any other sweet perks associated with your level of support. Well, that's all we have for the top of the show right now. The Grand Prix is last weekend, the Pro Tour is this weekend, GP Portland coming up. The giveaway is still going, but the site is down. I'm trying to get it fixed. And a Patreon-exclusive giveaway coming right up. Yep, I think I covered everything, and now I'm super excited to sit down with our guests and learn about Magic. What is up, everybody? I am super excited to have our guest with us today. Our guest started playing Magic in Shards of Alara, but has been playing competitively for 2 years. He made it to the finals of Grand Prix Manchester and qualified for Sydney, which is going to be his second Pro Tour. He's a member of Team MTG Mint Card, and he's coming to us from Paris. Let's welcome the one, the only, Julian Henry. Julian, how you doing today?
Hey, I'm doing great.
We are so happy to have you. Are you ready to delve into your mind and share with our audience tips and tricks to take their game to the next level?
Sure, I am.
Excellent. Now, all you prodigies out there, if you want to connect with Julian, the best place to do that is on Twitter. He is at Lyserg42, L-Y-S-E-R-G-4-2. So hit him up there, say hello, say thanks for coming on the show, ask him a question, and we're ready to dive right in. So, Julian, tell us, what do you have going on? Is Magic all you do? Do you have work aside from that? Tell us a little bit about what you have going on.
Okay, so, well, I'm still a student. I study computer science, and, well, that still gives me quite a bit of free time for Magic, and so that's nice, and I do use a lot of that free time in Magic, so I travel to Grand Prix and prepare for tournaments. Yeah, that's pretty much what I do.
Awesome, so you're studying computer science where? There in Paris?
Yeah, in a university. It's my five-year degree.
Okay, excellent. Now, what got you into computer science? Like, why have you chosen that?
I don't know. I kind of liked math, and I wanted to do something more practical with the same kind of stuff.
Excellent.
Math kind of abstract past a certain point, but still the same type of thinking, and which I like.
Excellent, excellent. And it sounds like you have roommates there in your flat, so you live with some other college students?
Well, actually, I'm not at my place right now.
Oh, I'm, okay.
Yeah, I'm with at Jeremy Dozani's place. We're testing for the Pro Tour already.
Excellent. Good for you guys. Good. So I was going to say if your roommates played Magic or whatever, but it sounds like, so the other players you're with right now, getting ready for the Pro Tour. That's excellent. Good for you. So let's see. You're there as a student in Paris doing computer science. You play Magic, you know, on your free time when you can. You've obviously been doing well, and we would love to go back to the beginning to hear how you started, because obviously not everybody starts, or nobody starts, you know, going to a Grand Prix and winning. You have to start somewhere. So take us to the very beginning. When was the very first time that you saw or played with Magic cards? Tell us that story.
It was in high school. Some friend of mine just was playing Magic and wanted to show me, so we play a couple of games, and I liked it from the very beginning, and I started playing casually at the time, with buying some booster and making a deck with cards I owned and not caring about formats and everything for like, I don't know, a year or something. And then I kind of forgot about it, so just stopped playing, forget about it. And some years later, at I believe it was Dark Ascension, where I was studying, I saw an ad for organizing drafts one night. And I was like, oh, okay. I haven't played Magic in a while, but that sounds sweet. Let's go. And from there, I got more into the game, got interested, looked up stuff on the internet, and I started going to some little tournament in France. There is a 1v1 commander variant that is quite popular, and that's where I started. So I played some of those tournaments, and since it is very casual still, I managed to do well after a while, and that hooked me up in competitive Magic. And then I wanted to try to do some harder stuff and go and play PTQs and similar tournaments. Well, I started going to Grand Prix, and from there make connection, meet people that were regulars from there, because they were on all the tournaments. So you meet them after some time. Yeah, that's pretty much it.
That's awesome. I love your progression. And you came back. So that very first time you played was back in high school. You said Shards of Alara, and then you fell out for a little bit. You came back in to do drafts. And then you mentioned that you started getting competitive doing French commander variant. Is that what you said?
Yeah.
So who were your commanders? Who did you like to play with?
I started with Karador, Ghost Chieftain. So a guy who can replay other guys from the graveyard.
That's so fun. That is really neat. And then from there, you just little by little kind of started getting into it, you know, more and more competitive, going off to Grand Prix, meeting people, like you said, like as you start going to these bigger events regularly, you'll start meeting the other people who go regularly. You form connections and friendships, and you're able to up your game as you start playing with skilled players. And then sooner or later, here you are, top aiding a Grand Prix and going off to the Pro Tour. That's great.
Yep.
So in the bio, we mentioned that this would be your second Pro Tour. What was your first?
It was Pro Tour Atlanta earlier this year.
Excellent.
So also
excellent.
The Gatewatch.
Yes, yes. Very neat. So this would be, is this two in a row then?
No, I missed the Pro Tour Shadow over Nistrad.
Okay, yeah, okay. Awesome. Well, so you're back on and ready to, you know, do great things. You hooked up with a great team, so we're really excited to see how you do. It should be a lot of fun.
Yeah, I'm very excited as well.
So since you started playing Magic, what's been your favorite set?
I guess Shards of Alara is like, I have a lot of memories from that set because, well, there was a flashback draft recently, and I was like looking at all the cards, and lots of memories because it was the first set. And I don't know, I feel that I like the cards in here, the mood of the set, like how it felt. It's really nice. I didn't draft at all when it came out because I was like very casual and everything, but I was quite happy to be able to do a couple on Magic Online recently.
Right. That nostalgia is so, it's so strong. You know, like you said, you didn't draft back then, but just drafting now, you remember the cards and what it was like, you know, getting into it. And it just brings it all back. That's kind of how it is for me with like Tempest and Weatherlight, all those old cards. I totally just played casually back then. But whenever I see that art, you know, I just remember, and I think it'll be fun to, you know, draft that set someday. And so anyways, and so yeah, that nostalgia gets us every time. So along the same lines, what is one of your favorite cards?
Nissa Vastuzzi, I would say. It's quite a recent one.
Yeah, tell us what that card is, and for those of us who don't know, and what it does.
I guess so. It's a 3-mana 2/2 legendary from Magic Origins, where you can, when it comes into play, you can get a forest from your library into your hand. And when you play your 7th land, it flips into a Planeswalker, which can plus 1 to draw you card, or minus 2 to put a 4/4 legendary into play, or minus 7, I think, to animate all your lands on 6/6 and, well, kill your opponent.
Yeah, yeah. So why do you like that card?
Well, I played it quite a bit in different decks since it's been in Standard. I believe I played it in 3 different decks in different formats. And it's only played like 2 usually because it's legendary and everything. But it's always been really nice. It's a kind of card I like because it brings you a little bit of value. And even if your opponent kills it, and if he doesn't, you get a powerful Planeswalker that is very versatile and gets you back in a game you're losing. So I like that.
Yeah, there's a lot going on there. Like you said, even if it gets killed, you got some value because at least you got to fetch forest to your hand. And if it doesn't die, well, boom, you know, then you get to flip it eventually and just start rolling them over with value. So absolutely love that. That's neat. So we got some of your favorites, got to learn a little bit about you and what you like in Magic and whatnot. So what makes Magic fun for you, Julian? Like, why, when you started playing, why did you play? What got you, what made it fun when you first started?
At first, I don't know, it was like the interaction between the cards, trying to find what makes them work well together. What could I find to work with what I have, or what should I not play because it doesn't work? Trying to find this kind of interaction was very interesting, I think.
Excellent. And nowadays, now that you have improved your skills and you're going to Pro Tours, what makes Magic fun for you now?
Well, I still like that, but one thing that really gets me going is very simple. It's winning. I guess the adrenaline when you win, when you win a tournament, when you qualify for the Pro Tour. I haven't done that a lot, but I have done it a little bit, and I just want to do that again. It feels really cool.
Awesome. So what can you do to still have fun playing Magic, even when you're being really competitive? Because obviously, like, we love winning too. Everybody loves that feeling of winning, whatnot. But losing comes with the game, you know? Like, it happens quite often, whether it's in single games or matches or even big events. So what do you do to still have fun while you are being competitive?
I really like to do my best. So looking to improve is, I enjoy it, like, trying to find what I could do to play better, to build a better deck. And I do enjoy that. So the ultimate goal is, well, to win. And this is like the reward when you actually manage to do it. That's where it's the best. But I do still enjoy the process before.
Excellent. So the process of improving, so focusing on getting better and finding the right deck and playing it, like focusing on that aspect of it is kind of keeps it all together, keeps it in perspective, makes it fun so that you can go off and continue to compete even when the results might not be in your favor. Yeah, we definitely love tapping into that because, like you mentioned, winning's the best, but we always love hearing what to do, you know, when the cards aren't in our favor, as it were. So that's neat. So we talked a little bit about your beginning and then how you got to Grand Prix and top 80 and going to the Pro Tour. When did you level up? When did you really feel you improved as a player? What was that period of time like? What did that look like? Tell us that story.
I'm not sure there is one point where I felt like I leveled up as my level of play. It was like more a continuous thing. But when I won the RPTQ in, I believe, last October, something like that, for Atlanta, that was like a big, big part for me because finally I was rewarded for, well, I had some success with Grand Prix Day 2's cash, and that was nice. But I really wanted to go on the Pro Tour, and there I just did it. And even though I didn't necessarily add a huge skill cap at that point. It was just, it was a result one that was very important for me to keep me motivated to keep improving, because I went to the Pro Tour, I did badly, but I got hooked.
That's awesome. We've heard that before, actually, that once you make it to the Pro Tour, it's like, it's just magic on another level, because everybody's, they're the best in the world. Like, everybody's there, you know, doing their best. And it's just, it's still magic, but there's just a different energy, a different vibe. And it sounds really infectious. Like, I love that. That's really, really neat. What were you doing leading up to the RPTQ? How much were you playing? What were you playing? Like, how were you practicing? What did that preparation, what did that time period look like?
Okay, so it was a RPTQ in Modern, and that was before the Splinter Twin and Bloom Titan ban. So I was playing, Bloom Titan. I was playing that deck for quite a few months at that time, and because it's really the type of deck I like, with a puzzle every game, and I played it a lot on Magic Online in the previous months. Not necessarily as a preparation for that exact tournament, but just I was playing a lot of Magic, and Modern was really cool, and I love playing this deck, so I played it a lot. And that's where it was kind of lucky, I guess, that it was one of the best decks in Modern. So I had no reason to play anything else at the RPTQ, and I got some luck there, but work paid out as well.
Absolutely. And that happens, you know, like luck is part of Magic as well. You know, some tournaments you get matched up with your worst matchup every time, and some tournaments you don't, you know, and that's just part of the game. That's cool. But like you said, the work paid off. Like, you were practicing, you put in your time, you put in the effort, you played with that deck a lot leading up to that event. So you were familiar with it, you were comfortable with it, you knew the ins and outs. And so you did your preparation, and then, you know, luck kicked in a little bit, but that's okay. That's what happens. And you're able to take down this RPTQ and make it onto your first Pro Tour. That is awesome. All of our stories, all of our journeys in Magic are unique, but they do share similarities in that we all have highs and we all have lows. And we would love to dive into two stories, one being your worst Magic moment. So your lowest low and what you learned from that. And then we'll flip it over and we'll hear your high. But first, take us to the worst moment you had in Magic and what you learned from that experience.
I'm not sure. It was maybe like a year ago, something like that. More than that, there was a Grand Prix in Madrid, in Modern, where I was playing Birthing Pod. It was during the Treasure Cruise era when it was not banned. And I practiced a lot for that event. I really, really practiced a lot. With a friend, we played hours and hours on Magic Online, and we had a very good version of Pods, I think, that was very well tuned for the tournament. And I gave the decklist to quite a bunch of French players that was going to the tournament. So we went to the tournament, and pretty much all my friends did well. They day twoed and they cashed, and even some other guys that saw my list online took it, changed it a little bit, and top 8ed the Grand Prix. And me, I just mulligan, drew poorly, played poorly, didn't day two. I was very frustrated about it because I had never practiced so much and was sure that my deck was good since all my friends did well with it. But it was really disappointing. So I guess it was one of my moments where I was less happy about Magic.
Oh my goodness, I can see that. That just stinks. Like you said, you put so much effort. You shared the decklist with friends, and then those friends did well and you didn't. So what did you take away from the experience? What did you learn from that? How did you move past that?
I just learned that you have to, you're not going to, if you're going to win a tournament or like do well, you're going to need to get lucky, no matter how good you are. But what you have to do is, when you get lucky, if you work before, so being lucky works out and you win the tournament or do well. Because if you don't practice enough and if you're not ready, then you can get lucky, but still waste that luck. And you are in a spot where you draw well, you have your good matchup, but since you didn't practice, you lose. And this stinks the most. So that was not one of those times. It was not a tournament where I got very lucky, but that's fine. I just do the same and practice again for the following tournament. And if you do that and luck is here for you, then that's where you do really well. And it's really super, super nice when that happens.
Yep. So I love the phrase, luck is when opportunity meets hard work. So you put in the hard work, and then when an opportunity arises and you're able to capitalize on it, people say, oh, like he was so lucky or whatever. But in reality, you've done your part in advance, you know, like you were able to, to everybody else in that moment, it looks lucky. It's the same like, oh, like this band or whatever is an overnight success. Well, just because they had like one song that like popped up on the charts, you know, that band's been together for 5-10 years, just kind of slugging away doing the band thing. And then all of a sudden everybody knows about them, but they've been honing their craft. You know, it's like the same in magic where you put in the time, you put in the work, you put in the effort. And then when an opportunity arrives, and you capitalize on it, everybody looks and sees that it says it's lucky, but in reality, you've actually done the work to capitalize on the opportunity that came your way. So I love that. I really think that that's a neat perspective, and I appreciate you sharing that. That's wonderful. So on the flip side, we have the highs. So what has been your proudest magic moment to date?
Well, it was a couple of weeks ago when in Manchester, where when I won, I believe I started 4-1-1 after two buys. And, well, I went 13-1-1, so it was quite a number of wins in a row. And that was one of the very last tournaments where I could top 8 and qualify for Sydney. And the pro points also gave me the enough to reach silver and join my friend that top 8ed a GP and was silver a couple of weeks earlier. And I ended up reaching the final, which means I had more money. But the top 8 and reaching silver was such a huge moment because I just qualification for 2 pro tours. And that's it. That's my real chance. If I have a chance at maybe get gold or jump into the train, this is where it starts. So I hope it will work out.
Yeah, I absolutely love it. That's great. So you made silver. So how many points do you have right now then?
I have 20.
Okay. So is there any chance of making gold this season, or are you kind of looking to do that next season?
Well, it's still possible this season, but I'm going to need to do really well at the Pro Tour. I need to go 12-4, which is almost top 8. It's going to be really hard, but maybe, I mean, I'm going to test with a great team, and if the chips fall in my favor, then maybe, but it's more a goal for next year than this year.
Excellent. Because like you said, you qualified for 2 Pro Tours, so you have this one and the next one, and then that's a great jumping ground, you know, that's a great starting off point for next season. So I think that's absolutely awesome that you've positioned yourself in such a way that you can capitalize on all this hard work.
Yep. I'm very happy about it. I'm very excited about going to Sydney for Magic.
Have you ever been there before?
No, it's my first time in Australia.
Awesome. Are you going to go to the Grand Prix that's just before it?
Yeah.
Excellent. Look at you. Love it. The play the game, see the world thing. It's so true. And you're living the dream. That's great. That's absolutely great. Now, you mentioned some of your friends that made it to top 8 and silver and Pro Tour as well. Who is that group there in Paris that you play with?
I test a lot with Louis Deltour. He's pretty much just like me. He had the same result last year when he qualified for 1 Pro Tour, did badly. Just at the end of the season, he top-8ed GP New York. And so he reached silver. And I just, a couple of weeks after, I top-8ed Manchester, which made me silver. And I guess he has 1 more pro points than I do, but we do test a lot together for our tournaments, and that's the person I test the most with, but I do test with pretty much all the guy in Paris that do a lot of Grand Prix.
That's awesome. Louis is actually episode 97, so he was back on the show as well. He was a great guest, and that's really neat that, you know, you get to join him in this lineup. That's really sweet. What pro players do you look up to and have you learned from in your journey?
Well, I have tested with some of the French pro players, not all of them, but I have tested with Pierre Dagen a little bit and Jeremy Desani. I do learn from them. With Pierre, I'm mostly testing before the Pro Tour. Each time we do, even with people that are not qualified, we do a limited, I guess, weekend where we draft the new set so everyone can we do like 8 drafts in one weekend, something like that, to discover the new cards, prepare for the Grand Prix before the Pro Tour and the Pro Tour for those who go. And so this is very difficult because when the cards are all new, it's pretty hard. Limited is not my best, the format I'm best at. So testing with those people for is really good because I can see a different perspective on how they approach the building, the drafting part, how they test out the new cards. That's really helpful.
Yeah, and he's a great player. Pierre, you know, the French team captain, like that's, you know, really good people to be playing with. He was actually episode 66. So you are, you know, rubbing shoulders with some great players and learning a lot from them. And you mentioned that limited is not your best format. What is your best format? Where do you feel your strength lies?
I guess standard, most likely. I just enjoy constructed more. Maybe it's kind of a spiral because I'm better at constructed. So I do enjoy it more. So I play more constructed. So yes. I still am better in constructed than limited, but it can be any constructed format, but I do play standard the most because there are way more standard tournaments. But yeah, I have been really enjoying standard lately. I think most formats have been really good.
Excellent. So let's dive into that a little bit. I love standard too. That's one of my favorite formats as well. What would you say to someone who is just getting into standard? Because, you know, it's like this rotating set or whatever. So let's kind of break it down real simple. What's some basic advice? What's like one thing a brand new standard player should focus on?
It depends what your goal is. But if you want to pick up a deck just after a format rotated, unless you have a tournament before the Pro Tour, I would usually wait till the Pro Tour because you have a bunch of people that are going to do the hard work for you to build, find a new deck from scratch. And that's really hard and very taxing. I started doing that a couple of days ago and, whoa, that's hard. I'm not sure. Yes. How, and so people are going to do that work and then play the Pro Tour, which will tell you pretty much who have found the best deck. And from there, you can pick up a deck and hopefully a deck that will keep being good, because sometimes a deck disappear in a couple of weeks because of how fast standard is moving. But if you can keep practicing with that single deck, I think that's a very good approach. If you play against all the decks in standard over and over again with a single deck, you can learn how the matchup plays out, find the situation you encounter multiple times, so you know how to approach them, how to play to win when you are in that kind of situation, what you are aiming for on turn two of the game, what is the game state you want to achieve and that's going to win you the game. That kind of stuff. And it can be done while changing decks, but it's a lot of work. So it's, you don't have lots of time. It's better to focus on one deck, I think. You still need to be wary of the metagame change, because sometimes you pick the wrong deck and it's just not good. And there are, even though you're familiar with it, you'd better change still. But quite often you have the choice between quite a few tier one deck, and which one exactly you choose doesn't matter that much. And just know the matchups and inside and out. That's what I would do.
Love it. Love it. And you mentioned about, you know, for newer players, especially waiting until the Pro Tour, because they kind of crack the code, you know, for you. And then you kind of have, you know, the decks to pick from and refine and whatnot. But deck construction is one of the things that we love as Magic players, right? We love tinkering and putting ourselves into decks and trying to find, you know, new interactions like you were talking about earlier. So here we are with a brand new set. You know, we have Eldritch Moon, and there's a lot of this going on right now, trying to find new decks and whatnot. So I want to talk about deck construction with you. You mentioned that it's kind of hard to put together a deck from scratch, but what does that process look like? When a new set comes out, what are you doing to prepare for an event? How are you incorporating new cards into standard?
So there are two ways of doing it. You can take one of the best decks from the previous format. Well, it depends. Here, for this rotation, you can, because there are no sets that are rotating out and only one small set getting in. So you can take one of the best decks, such as green-white tokens, bound humans, or black-white control, and try to find what are the obvious additions to the deck and how you can make them better. For example, you can add Tamiyo and Talia to bound, which is pretty straightforward, and that will usually give you quite a good deck. But everyone is going to see that, so... And there might be something busted in the new set that you're missing out. So the other option is to build a new deck. So to do that, you usually want a reason to build that deck. For example, a card that you think is particularly powerful and that is worth building around or trying to make work. For example, a lot of people like the new Emerge card, and you can try to build a deck around that because it is a costly mechanic. So you can try to make that work. Really try to find the most powerful cards in a set that do not fit in old decks that were existing, and start from here. What card works well with that card, and trying to find if the payoff is good enough when your deck works. And does it win? When it doesn't work that well, does it still win? If the answer is yes to both, then you probably have a good deck. And but that's really hard. And when you do that, there are lots and lots of bad decks because you still have... you got to try. If you don't try, you're not going to succeed. But you don't want to give up because you had a couple of ideas that didn't work.
I love that. And... sounds like a lot of work. So my question is, do you do all of that, or do you kind of divide that up? Is that what the team is doing as a team, or does one person kind of go through that entire process?
No, we pretty much all do that. It's really my first time doing it because for the previous Pro Tour I did, it was in Modern, so you didn't really have that many new deck to test. Well, I guess it was the Eldrazi Pro Tour, and we missed Eldrazi, so nah. But this was not good. But yeah, like here we already started to build new decks from the new cards, but also update old decks. We meet up 2 weeks before the Pro Tour, but we already started. The Pro Tour is 1 month away at that time, and we already starting. We already done two drafts with proxies of the cards. We already brewed up three or four new decks plus updated and the old ones. It's starting really well. And
awesome. I absolutely love it. And I love the process that you went through because I totally agree. You have to start with the best decks right now and then make the best version of those decks with the new cards. And then that becomes like your gauntlet, right? Because people are still going to play those decks. Especially right now with green white tokens and bant humans, like people are going to play those decks or some version of it. So you find the best version of those, and then that's when you start kind of brewing and throwing those decks against the established ones. And then if the new decks can't beat the old decks, well, then you just play the old decks, but you just keep going and iterating and trying new things, like you said, new interactions, updating old decks. So maybe there was a deck, 2 months ago that used to be good, but now it's not good, but maybe there's some new cards that make it better. And that's really what it's all about. And that's what we love as Magic players. This new set gives us new cards and we get to tinker and play with and really trying to find out what's happening. So I'm really excited. And thank you so much for walking us through that process. I'm super pumped to see what comes out of the Pro Tour. It's always, really fun to see what you and other pros, put together so that we can take that and build off of it and move forward. So Magic is just the best. Absolutely love it. So when you go to tournaments, you travel around a lot, obviously, and have to, take stuff with you. What do you actually take in your tournament bag? What is with you when you go?
Usually just a minimum, a couple of clothes for the weekend and cards, my deck, and a couple of cards I'm going to lend to my friends. I don't really want to take too many stuff because then you have to have a heavy backpack for the whole weekend, and that's not good.
So kind of on a non-technical side of Magic, what has been the best change in Magic that you've seen since you started playing?
There was a change with Pro Points 1 year ago, something like that, in Grand Prix and Pro Tour. Where now Pro Points are about your actual record in the tournament, not the place you end up at. And that's really great because now you not having to sweat the tiebreakers at the end to go, oh, I got unlucky, so now I'm not making silver or gold or anything. And that's really bad and makes for a really feel bad moment. Even if on average you end up the same, it's you just don't know what to expect. And now people are know, and that's much, much better, I think.
I agree. That sounds really good. And I didn't know that that was a change, but it does sound like a definite positive. And I really like, focusing on the positives and the good things. And I really appreciate you bringing that to light. So that sounds like, that was a good change. And I can see how, sweating the tiebreakers would just be so frustrating. And I appreciate knowing that my results are what will give me points, So based on my record, I'll get this many points, that many points. And so I think that's a good change as well. So glad that happened. So we've kind of gone through your story all the way from the beginning up to playing on a pro tour. I want to wrap it back around and I want to say we all have been to stores and we see where new players come in and they're all excited about Magic and they quickly realize that Magic is expensive and they can't necessarily play with the most popular deck all the time or whatever. What can we, the enfranchised players that love Magic and playing for a while, what can we do to help these new players, come into Magic?
Well, one thing that to find all the cards for my deck, I borrowed them from friends. I know it's not something everyone can do because there are not people, new players don't really know people, so it's you can't really borrow a card from them. So that's one of the things I would focus on if I'm a new player without being able to access all the cards, is making connections, trying to meet people, and if you know them, then you can start borrowing cards. But it's also become friends, start testing together, and go from there. And it's really cool.
Love it. And do you have a non-Magic activity that you feel helps you get better at Magic?
I don't know. I don't think there is one that is directly making me better at Magic. I guess when I study computer science, if I solve problem, when I have to solve problem, and sometimes, well, Magic helps me in that, and it's the other way around. Solving problem like does help me in Magic, but it's more in a long run.
Right, right. Excellent. And what online resources do you turn to when you're looking to keep up with what's going on in Magic?
Well, I go on to the most popular websites, Star City Games, Shining Fireball. I do really enjoy MTG Goldfish for Magic Online stuff. It's a really big database of decks. I guess I also use MTG Top 8 for that to find decks recently for the WNCQ, for example. I was using it because there is an aggregate of decks, so I wanted to know what cards people have in their sideboard for deck X, so that they can bring in against me, and I can go to that website and look on average how many Relic of Progenitus you have in your sideboard of your modern deck or something like that.
Excellent, excellent. So once again, all you prodigies out there, the best place to connect with Julian is on Twitter. He's at Lyserg42, L-Y-S-E-R-G-42. So hit him up there, say hello, say thanks for coming on the show, ask him questions. And Julian, I want to turn it over to you for one last parting piece of guidance, either something you've already said you want to emphasize or something new that you want to leave with us here at the end.
Well, about be there for the when the luck strikes. It means when you have, if you work for it, work for every tournament, so when you have the tournament where you get lucky, you do really well. That I think that's really what is important. And on the other hand, don't be too disappointed if you prepared a lot but it didn't work out in the end. Just if you are too disappointed and give up, then you sure won't have a lucky tournament. But if you keep going, then you will have at some point, and it's just don't give up on it, and it will happen if you keep practicing.
Julian, I want to acknowledge you for your contributions to the multiverse, and thank you so much for your time and for sharing your expertise with us. You are a hero among planeswalkers, and it has been a blast chatting with you. May you never be mana screwed, always draw what you need, and depart every plane victorious.
Thank you very much.
Julian, thank you so much for coming on to the show. I learned a lot in Prodigies. I hope you did as well. As always, you can find the show notes at mtgprotutor.com/Julian Henry. Of course, that will be up and ready as soon as the site is up and ready. Again, I apologize for the down site. I'm doing everything I can to fix it. It will be up shortly, and when it is, you'll be able to find the show notes as well as sign up for the giveaway and just do all the stuff that you're normally able to do on the website. Stay tuned to the show, to the email list, and to the Facebook group to know where and what time the MTG Pro Tutor meetup will be at GP Portland. It's going to be Friday night for sure. I just need to find the venue and the time. Thanks so much for joining me today. It has been a blast, as always. I cannot wait to join you again in the next episode. Until then, I'm Sean of The Gathering, and we'll see you in the next cast.
This round of MTG Pro Tutor is over. So you don't miss a single episode of MTG Mastery. Be sure to subscribe to the show on your preferred podcast listening service for more exclusive interviews, deck building tips, and elite content. Or visit mtgprotutor.com to stream it straight from the source. We look forward to helping you think and play like a pro.